This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 33, verse 6, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 33, verse 6. We left off last time with Jacob's name being changed to Israel because he prevailed with God. In other words, he travailed in prayer, and he prayed it through. And God said, I'm changing your name to Israel, means the prince that has power with God. But then it was time for Jacob to take his family and meet his brother Esau, who 20 years earlier had threatened to kill him. But God had touched the heart of his brother Esau, and Esau ran and hugged Jacob's neck, and they wept, and it was a happy reunion. Then Esau looked up and saw Jacob's family, and Jacob said, this is how God has blessed me in the years I've been gone. We pick it up now with Jacob about to introduce his family to his brother Esau.
When the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves.
Now this would be Zilpah and Bilhah, the two handmaidens. Each of them had two sons. That would be four of the 12 patriarchs of Israel.
Verse 7, and Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves.
Leah had six sons, six patriarchs of the house of Israel, and one beautiful little daughter named Dinah.
And afterward came Joseph near with Rachel and bowed themselves.
And of course his beloved wife Rachel and the one son Joseph. She will have one more. So we've got 11 of the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribe of Israel. Today is numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. Now, Jesus is coming back for a wedding. He's the bridegroom and you're the bride. So Jacob now becomes a type of Jesus. And we see here in the three categories, the three rows of wives, the different type people who will be able to marry Jesus. On the front row, we have whosoever will. I mean, anybody who would confess your sins and accept Jesus, you may marry him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. On the second row, we have those who are called. Remember, Jesus says, many are called, all right? And on the third row, that would be the chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Whosoever will may come.
Verse 8, and he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met?
Jacob had sent a gift unto Esau to appease him, and it had been a very expensive little flock of cattle.
And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord.
I wanted to please you. I didn't want you to kill me.
Verse 9. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep thou that thou hast unto thyself. Verse 10. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, receive my present at my hand, for therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God.
Jacob says, just accept it as a gift from God, because I had prayed and now you're smiling at me, you're at peace with me, so just accept it as an offering from God.
And thou wast pleased with me. Verse 11, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee.
In those times, it was considered an insult if someone gave you a gift not to receive it. And actually, it might mean that you were going to go to war with them. So this was very important.
Because God had dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough.
When people ask me to pray for them, and they mean it legitimately, for substance, I always pray, Father, supply their needs, give them enough and to share, to give and to spare. Apparently, Jacob has enough and to share, to give and to spare.
Amen.
And he urged him, and he took it. Verse 12, and he said, let us take our journey, let us go, and I will go before thee.
Esau says, let me help you out. I've got 400 men now. Let me lead the way. Esau would know where the wells are and where the green pastures are, so he wanted to be helpful.
13, and he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die.
My children are very young, and then I've got these very baby lambs and goats. We couldn't be driven like you might drive cattle. We better not do that, says Jacob.
14, let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly.
You go on ahead, and I'll come by slowly. I'll go as slowly or as fast as the little children and the new little calves and so forth will let me.
According as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord to Seir.
And then I'll come and see you in Seir. Now, parentheses. Seir is today's Iran. Anybody listening to the news? Iran. Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 speaks of a battle of Hamagog, which will happen here at the end, just before Jesus comes. And Seir is going to double up with Esau, who is Edom. Edom in the manuscripts is Red Rush, rushed by the Volga, Russia, and they're coming against Jacob. Remember, Jacob's name's changed to Israel. But there are 12 tribes, and they've split their two houses. Parentheses. Little food for thought.
15. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth it?
So Esau said, well, just let me leave a few of my men, just kind of help you out with the cattle. Jacob says, I don't need it. Have you noticed how Jacob has changed the last few weeks we've been studying about him? He's not afraid now. He has travailed in prayer with God. He now knows that God is with him. God has told him that he would have descendants as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, and a great nation would come from him, and that the Messiah would come through that lineage. You see, he's now reached that place of knowing his destiny. When you are on your road to your destiny, or you realize what it is, you don't lean on anybody, and you do not get yourself engaged and locked in to anyone who would hinder your destiny. Be not unequally yoked. It doesn't just mean marriage. It means work. It means friendship. It means ideas.
Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. Verse 16. So Esau returned that day on his way into Seir.
So Esau goes back to Seir.
17. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth.
Succoth means booths. On the Hebrew calendar, the seventh month, it would be our October, and that's not an English calendar, the Hebrew calendar, is called Tisri, but it's also called the month of the Feast of Tabernacles, but it also means the Feast of Succoth. We're coming up that October, the Feast of Booths. It means when God comes and is our shelter over us. In other words, God is our pavilion, parentheses. I have a new room in this place, and it's called His Pavilion, parentheses.
Amen.
Now, many years later, from this same lineage would come a great leader named Moses, and he would be leading the descendants of Jacob from Egypt's captivity in the wilderness, and God would tell them to build Succoth's booths to show them that God is their hiding places, their refuges, their shelter. He's their pavilion.
Verse 18, And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And he came from Padan Aram and pitched his tent before the city.
You know where he is now? He's made full circle. Remember, he ran all the way back to his mother's place, Padan Aram. He's back now when he was running from Esau 20 years earlier, where he had his stone, Jacob's stone, slept on it, had the dream of the ladder to heaven, woke up the next morning and said, God is in this place, anointed the stone, Jacob's stone, stone of Schoon, the stone of destiny, and called that place Beth-El, Beth House El God, Beth-El. He's made full circle. At last, he's back in Beth-El. See, you've been running around in circles. You know how you do that? And all the while, you wanted to go to Beth-El. It's not a place. It's the heart of God.
19. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, who Shechem his father for 100 pieces of money.
Jacob was very wealthy now, so before he builds the house and the booths, he buys the land. That's good.
Verse 20. And he erected there an altar and called it El El on Israel.
God, the God of Israel. Now, when you move physically to a new location, a new job, a new territory, and most of all, when you move spiritually, may that be today. When you move spiritually to a new place, you want to direct the altar of your heart and say, this is Bethel. Beth in the Hebrews' house, El is God. And before all of heaven and all of you, I declare that 2565 Sellers Lane, this is Bethel. This amen. Is the house of God. Amen. Everybody amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Boy, you're alive. Thank you.
To 34, verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land.
Now, Dinah's a very young girl. She's probably kind of a preteen, maybe about 11. She's very beautiful. She's got all these brothers. She wants to have some girlfriends, so she goes out. Dinah is a young girl. She's a virgin.
Verse 2. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hittite king, came to the campaign, he saw her and took her and lay with her and defiled her.
He raped her. My goodness. Now, Dinah is a virgin. At this point, the entire body of Christ is virginal because no one has yet married, been deceived, beguiled, raped by the soon coming Antichrist who will seduce half the body of Christ. But Dinah does a very foolish thing. She goes out into the field. Jesus says the field is the world. And she is not protected. She is not covered. Jesus says in Matthew 25, there are 10 virgins. 10 is the number of the whole body of Christ. We're all virginal now because none of us has worshiped the Antichrist. But he says 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. The foolish ones have no oil in their lamp. They have no light. They have no truth. They have no word. Understand?
Yes.
And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, women, meaning men and women of the body of Christ, look out for the fallen angels that are coming for Antichrist. Have your head covered. It does not mean a hat or a veil or hair. Have your head covered with the mind of Christ, the word of God. Yeah. Revelation chapter 9, God has already told the angel of the bottomless pit, the king of the bottomless pit, who's the Antichrist, who's the devil with his Jesus costume on. He says, don't you touch any green tree who has a seal of God in their forehead. So the word would protect you. But Dinah was not protected. Half of the body of Christ, the Bible tells us, will worship the soon coming Antichrist, meaning well, innocent like Dinah, loving Jesus, but because they are biblically ignorant, they do not know the order of the trumps. They are not taught God's word like it should be. So they are raped. Proverbs 21:7 says, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they despise judgment. There are 10 words in the Bible that mean word. Judgment is one of them. Robbery in the Hebrew, the wicked is the wicked one, the devil, the Antichrist. Robbery in the Hebrew means rapture, raping. It's a spiritual raping. Paul says, I fear that as Satan, that old serpent, beguiled Eve in the garden, seduced her, that he's going to seduce you, body of Christ, and half will be. Because you go out of this field, this world, uncovered.
Verse 3.
And then along comes Shechem. Now Shechem is in the natural, the son of the most powerful man in the land, the heathen. And when the Antichrist comes, he's going to call himself Theosata, God's Savior. But only Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of the Most High God, you understand? But the Antichrist is coming instead of Christ, not against him, pretending to be Christ. And he's going to see the foolish ones and take you immediately. He will already have the whole world, Revelation 13, the whole world will worship him. He'll wed them. But he wants the ones he can't have. So he gets half of the body of Christ, then he's going to set his sights on the other half, the elect who will not be deceived. So the body of Christ will be spiritually raped. And when you fall into bed with the Antichrist, spiritually speaking, then you're defiled and you're not fit to marry the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who will come after the Antichrist. That's Jesus, the bridegroom. Watch out for the wrong wedding.
And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel.
Now, when the Antichrist comes, he's going to eye the very elect. The whole world will go after him, half the body of Christ. It's going to be a big revival in the Christian church because everybody thinks Jesus is here, except it's the devil with his Jesus costume on. But he's going to speak kindly to the elect. He's going to try to woo you. I mean, you know, I'm Jesus. Just love me. I really am Jesus. I'm just paraphrasing how you would say that. But he's going to speak kindly to you. He's not cutting your head off because you're pretending to be Jesus. You understand?
Yes.
And if he cut your head off, he'd blow his cover.
4. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. 5. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with the cattle in the field.
Now, those young lads, those 11 boys, are out there being trained by Jacob to be good shepherds. You see, all of God's chosen people are shepherds. We watch out for the sheep. And so they're out in the field. They're young. Some of them are not yet teenagers, and some of them are just barely teenagers. Maybe 13, 14, but in Bible times, if you were 12, you were called a man. Okay, Jacob hears it. His only daughter, Dinah, has been raped.
And Jacob held his peace until they were come.
He didn't say a word. He just decided to be quiet until his sons got there. He needed some backup.
Verse 6. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him.
They came to make a peace treaty, Shechem and his father. Let's just have a little peace treaty here. The book of Daniel prophesies that when the little horn, the Antichrist, comes, he's going to come in saying peace and safety, peace treaties. I mean, they're going to even make a peace treaty in the Middle East. They'll stop fighting over there, which they've been doing forever. I mean, it's peace and safety. Jesus says in Mark 13, beware when they see peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction. So the Antichrist will come, and he wants you to think he's the Savior. Peace to the world. Isn't Jesus the Prince of Peace? Isn't he the one to bring peace? Mm-hmm. The Antichrist is an imposter. He's just a phony. He's a copycat.
7. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it.
Okay, here come the brothers. All right, here are the brothers.
And the men were grieved.
Now, the brothers are grieved. They love their little sister, Dinah. You know why they were grieved? They felt her pain. Because in Bible times, if a girl was raped, she was very young, It meant her life was basically over. Oh, she would live there until she died with her parents, but no man would ever marry her because she was defiled. She could never have a husband. She could never have a home. They were wounded. They were grieving. This was wrong.
And they were very rough.
After you grieve when something bad has happened to you, the next stage is anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Anger, self-righteous indignation is a good thing, but that's when you want to use one of the gifts of Holy Spirit, temperance. You want to make sure that you don't fly off the handle. You'll get yourself in trouble.
Because he had wrought folly in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter. Which thing ought not to be done?
It ought not to have been done that Dinah was raped. And it ought not to be done that half the body of Christ, with all of our technology, our television, our computers, our little Bibles on our cell phones, that you should be deceived, and yet you're going to be. Why should it ought not to be? Because the Bible says in Ezekiel 13, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, caught up in the air, it doesn't mean to fly into the sky. Air in the Greek means to change into the breath of the spirit body, which we will all do when Jesus comes. You understand? Yes. Jesus is coming here. 1 Corinthians 15:52, will change in a moment the spirit of the body. And it ought not to be, because the book of Revelation has seven trumps, and it tells the order of the second coming of Jesus. Six is the Antichrist, seven is Jesus. But the Antichrist will look and act just like Jesus. You'll just have to know your Bible. It ought not to be that anybody in the body of Christ will worship the devil, but you're going to in biblical ignorance.
Amen.
Verse 8, and Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter.
The Antichrist will have the whole world and half the body of Christ. But the one, the prize he will want, will be God's elect, the few. Many are called, but few are chosen, who will not be deceived. And he's going to try to woo the elect and talk kindly to us. The elect will be delivered up to him, but he's going to be very nice at first. He wants you to worship him. He's a narcissist. He has to have everybody to love him. He's always been that way since he guarded the mercy seat in the first earth age, and he was called Lucifer then.
I pray you give her him to wife. Verse 9, and make ye marriages with us. Give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. Verse 10, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell and trade ye therein.
The Bible tells us that when the Antichrist comes, unless you worship him, meaning you spiritually marry him, you know Jesus is the bridegroom and you think this is Jesus, you wed him spiritually, you cannot buy and you cannot sell.
And get your possessions therein. Verse 11. And Shechem said unto her father and to her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes. And what you shall say unto me, I will give. Verse 12, ask me whithersoever much dowry and gift, and I will give according as you shall say unto me.
The Bible says, and Daniel says, that Antichrist is coming in peacefully and prosperously. He's going to make craft to prosper. Anything you want, you can have. You want your mortgage paid? Worship me. Will say the devil with his Jesus costume on, being very kind, doing signs and wonders, a great revival in the Christian church, except it's the false Christ. Are you an alcoholic? Worship me and I'll give you all the liquor you want. Are you a drug addict? Worship me, love me, marry me and I'll give you all the drugs you want, whatever you want, craft to prosper. Anything you want, just love him. He's the fake Christ.
Then give me the damsel to wife. Verse 13. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully.
Now, the 11 brothers here now become a type of God's very elect. That will be the ones who will not be deceived. And when the Antichrist is trying to woo us, we will be delivered up to him. How's he going to know about us? The mother shall turn the daughter to death. The father shall turn the son to death. Death's name is the devil, not killers. The people in the church who are deceived, that other half, foolish ones, are going to turn us in and say, please try to convince them that you're Jesus. They mean well, but you know. And so that's how we're going to be turned over to him. So the brothers now become a type of the elect. Deceitfully means they're going to use covert activity. When the elect are delivered up to the Antichrist, Luke chapter 12, it says, do not premeditate what you're going to say, but the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you at that moment what he wants you to hear. It'll be in a language like Pentecost, what everybody in the world can understand. And what's going to happen is we're going to expose yes. who the Antichrist is. Amen. It says, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world. It's going to be by the very elect right then before the whole world, because the whole world will put it on media. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What an honor. You were scared. Now aren't you proud?
Yeah.
And said, because he defiled Dinah, their sister. 14, they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister unto one that is uncircumcised, for that would be a reproach unto us.
So they're going to use a little covert activity. So the brothers say, we'd really like to work with you, but see, we have a custom, it's our religion, that every male must be circumcised, otherwise we can't marry you. Now, all of you know that circumcision is a little piercing of the foreskin of the male body part, and then a little blood is shed. God had told Abraham to start this, and what it means is that Jesus, who is the Son of God, as David is the stem of Jesse. Stem, did you get the word there? The son of Jesse, the seed comes through the stem. David is the stem of Jesse. Jesus is the stem of God the Father. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus would come and he would be pierced, and it should be in the foreskin. Jesus stands before God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The foreskin is pierced, and Jesus shed his blood for our sins. Now, Paul does tell us that once Jesus paid that sin debt, which he did, circumcision of the flesh is no longer necessary. If you want to do it for hygiene's sake, great. But now you must have circumcision of the heart. You must be pierced to the heart with the love of Jesus Christ. And then you have compassion and you become a bleeding heart.
15. But in this we will consent unto you.
But we do have an idea. You know, you're not circumcised, but we got an idea.
If you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised.
Ouch.
16. Then will we give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people.
Now, of course, they don't mean that. This is covert activity. God is using these boys because, see, God protects the womb that will bring forth a Christ child. Dinah is a part of that messianic family, and this was a no-no. God's going to get revenge.
17, but if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, we will take our daughter and we will be gone.
We'll pick up our little sister Dinah and we'll be gone.
18, and their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. 19, and the young man deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter.
So Shechem said, yes, we'll do that. Now, do you realize they're going to have to get every man in their city to uncover themselves and let these 11 boys circumcise them? Watch out for that night. Do you understand, though, that the boys represent God's elect, and we delivered up to Antichrist? What the Holy Spirit says to us will uncover him. The Antichrist will be revealed. The world and those Christians, those five half and half foolish ones, are going to see, oh my God, we worship the devil. They cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on him. He will be exposed as these men are about to be exposed.
And he was more honorable than all the house of his father.
I mean, in the natural, you have to kind of say that Shechem was kind of doing the right thing. Usually when a man rapes a person, he just casts her away like, you know, chopped liver. But at least he wanted to do the right thing to marry her. Now, in Psalm 119, the first two sections there are called Aleph and Beth. They're two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And the whole thing there is what you are to wear. that you are to put on the Word of God, wear the Word of God like a house. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the gospel armor. And the John the Revelator in the book of Revelation tells us that there are seven trumps. This is the word, so you won't be raped by Shechem, so you won't be spiritually raped by the Antichrist. We're now in the fifth trumpet. A trumpet is an event. It's a time of learning. That is why you're hearing what is coming from God through my mouth right now. This is the fifth trump. Amen. It will soon end. Then the sixth trump will sound. That will be the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, coming in the clouds, calling himself Theosarta, God's Savior. And the whole world will worship him, and half the body of Christ will think it's Jesus. And then, seventh trump, the real Jesus comes, the real bridegroom. And only those who are undefiled will go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus will be the bridegroom, and the ones who are not defiled will be the bride. God bless you. We'll pick Amen. It up right there
Amen.
Next time.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. At this time, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my fellow worker, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Great, great teaching tonight. Great teaching.
Thank you. Great word.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Okay, our question today. Please explain the symbol of the fish.
The fish. A lot of the early Christians would have a fish in front of their house. A fish is from a Greek word, ichthus, I-C-H-T-U-S, which means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Again, the fish is called a cipher, and in the Greek it's ichthus, which means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Okay, now David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
We embody God's wisdom when our understanding of Scripture is consolidated with supernatural encounters with Holy Spirit to bring a living reality to the expression of God's Word. God promised He would give us the treasures of darkness and the concealed riches of heavenly places, so we would know it is the Lord who calls us by name. Isaiah 45:3.
Isaiah 45:3. Thank you so much,
welcome,
Scott. That
Sherry.
Is so
Great
beautiful.
Night.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In just a few minutes, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. So get around your radio, your internet, get your loved ones. But first of all, let's get everybody saved. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer and mean it from your heart, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
Please forgive me for all of my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bless God.
To bless God.
And to bless mankind.
And to bless mankind.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, in a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. If you were saved then, I invite you to call and leave your message on my voicemail. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. And in the name and the power of Jesus, the recurrent demonic germ from hell that comes against God's people, I command you to loose God's people and be gone. No more flu, no more influenza, no more sickness of the stomach, no more throwing up, no more vomiting, no more sickness in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Let the healing virtue of Jesus flow in, O Son of Righteous, healing lights of rays of Jesus' virtue, repairing, restoring, rejuvenating, in healing in Jesus' name. Anything missing, make a new one. Anything broken, heal it. Anything out of place, move to your right place right now. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. He said his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. We praise you, Father. We give you the glory.
Lord.
We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 For those of you who are healed, then you want to also call and let me know that good news. Now, you know, nothing is given to you to keep. So all of these beautiful jewels you learn from God's word through Trumpet of Truth, go and tell and share them. I want to do a special shout-out of thanksgiving to the owner of the produce place, my twin friend Scott Merson. Thank you for
your Scott stuff, Sherry.
thank you, and your beautiful family. We appreciate you so much. Now, until next time, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is Sherry Medlock, your host, and I can't wait until next time when you come with me to remember that Jesus' name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13, and that Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth, and we get together to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
I believe. Calling Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
try on this terrestrial ball. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Living on my own, thinking of myself, castles in the sand, temporary wealth. Now the walls are falling down, now the storms are closing in, and here I am again. Jesus, hold me now, I need to feel you in this place, to know you by my side and hear your voice tonight. Jesus, hold me now, I long for your embrace. I'm beaten, broken down, I can't find my way out. Jesus, hold me now. Jesus, hold me now. Drags me into one more day of reaping what I've sown, of living with my shame. So welcome to my world and the life that I have made. One day you're a prince and the next day you're a slave. Jesus, hold me now, I need to feel you in this place. And hear your voice tonight. Jesus, hold me now, I long for your embrace. I'm beaten, broken down.
Listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Are you accomplishing the work that God has you here to do?
Dr. Tony Evans says many Christians feel like they're too busy to fulfill their God-given purpose. And if you happen to be one of them,
get at it, because you're running out of time.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. In sports, when the clock runs out, the game's over, period. Well, Dr. Evans says that Christians have a limited amount of time to do the work God has given us. Let's join him as he explains how we can make the most of it.
When you hear the word Frankenstein, you think of a monster, not the creation of a great creator named Victor. Yet Victor Frankenstein was the one who created Frankenstein, who you know as a monster. Frankenstein was given life by his scientific creator, Victor. The reason that you know Frankenstein not as the creation of a magnificent mind, but as a monster, is because he took the life that his creator gave him and turned on his creator. Frankenstein became a monster because he took the life that was given him and used it for his own purpose. You and I have been given life by our creator. Yet many of us have become human Frankensteins because we've taken the life that he has given us and used it for something other than the creator had in mind. Whenever you take the life that God has given you and you use it for your own interest and not the interest of your creator, you just became a monster. And I don't think there's anything more monstrous than when a Christian becomes a Frankenstein. When we take the new life that God has given us and we use it for the purpose for other than what he created us. Christian monstrosities. When we talk about God's purpose, we've been talking about his mission. No place states it more aptly than in the life of Jesus Christ himself in the longest prayer in the New Testament, John 17. This is known in theological circles as Jesus' high priestly prayer. And he prays on behalf